The great American author Mark Twain wrote a short story called The Great Catastrophe, in which the characters ended up in such a mess that even Mark Twain himself couldn't figure out how to solve it. At the end of the story, he concludes with this author's note. He said, "The truth is, I got my hero in such a terrible and complex mess that I don't see how I'm ever going to get him out of it. And therefore, I will wash my hands of the whole thing and leave that person to get out the best way he can, or else stay there." Some years after its publication, a reader complained to Mark Twain and said, "What kind of ending is that?" To which Mark replied, "If you think you can do better, you're welcome to try." The Great Catastrophe is not only the title of a short story by Mark Twain, it could also very well be the description of humanity, lost in sin, and with no possible way out. It was indeed a great catastrophe. It was the story of humanity destined to be separated from God forever. But God rewrote the ending to the human story. He gave us a different destiny, a different purpose, and he turned the great catastrophe of humanity into the great triumph of God's love and mercy. God rewrote the ending to our human story by sending us his own Son. We couldn't save ourselves from sin and death, but Jesus could, and he did. And he did it through the sacrament of baptism. The waters of baptism symbolize life. You know, when scientists go looking for life on another planet, they look first for signs of water, because without water, there is no life. Water also symbolizes cleansing. We are cleansed of our sins through the grace of baptism, and we are made children of God and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. In baptism, we acknowledge that we desperately need a Savior because He is the only one who can wash our souls clean. When we come to Jesus in the sacrament of baptism, professing our faith and renouncing our sinfulness, then the Spirit of God does something. God does what no man can do. He imparts his own life to us. Today, we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. People from all over Judea were coming to hear John preach and be baptized by him in the Jordan River as they repented of their sins. Jesus was there, not because he needed to repent, but in obedience to the Father and in order to raise the baptism of John to the level of a sacrament. The new baptism would be something infinitely more. It would be a baptism of rebirth through water and the Spirit. It would communicate to the people the new life they were seeking. In sending Jesus, God united himself with humanity in a permanent union. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, opened a new chapter in human history, one in which all people would have access to the life of grace. Last week, we saw the first of those who would come to adore Jesus, the Magi from the East. Their journey was only the beginning of a ministry that would bring together the many children of God separated by race, language, culture, creed, and geography. They would all be united as one family of God by becoming brothers and sisters of Christ. And that is how God rewrote the tragedy of the human catastrophe. Now, it's one thing for God to offer us a great gift. It's another thing for us to receive it and make it our own. That's what today's feast is all about. The baptism of the Lord shows us how we can make the gift of Jesus our own and with it rewrite our own stories of tragedy and catastrophe. Most of us don't even think very often about our baptism. Of all the pictures we hang on the wall, almost no one frames a photo of their baptism. And yet it is the defining moment of who we are as people of faith. A few years ago, an interviewer was meeting with Pope John Paul II and writing an article about the Holy Father's life. They were talking about many incredible events, like being the first non-Italian pope in over 500 years, growing up under Nazi and then communist occupation, the assassination attempt, helping to bring down the Iron Curtain, and so on. Then the reporter asked the Pope, he said, "Holy Father, so what do you consider the most important moment of your life?" To which the Holy Father responded, "My baptism." It was not what the reporter expected. But you see, John Paul II knew that his baptism was critically important. It was in baptism that he became an adopted child of God, a member of the mystical body of Christ, a temple of the Holy Spirit, and a disciple of Jesus. That moment changed his life. It changed his destiny, and it changed his mission. That moment united him to Jesus, and Jesus united him to God the Father. The catastrophe of his human sinful condition was changed in an instant, and the story of his life was rewritten to be a victory rather than a disaster. And it all happened in his baptism. Today, Jesus touches the waters of the Jordan River not because he needs to be washed clean of sin, but because he wants to give to the waters the power to recreate humanity and to change our eternal destiny. Today we recall that the greatest moment of life is when we entered the waters of baptism with Jesus, died to ourselves, and rose with him to new life. And today we recall that as members of his body, we face the challenge to live out our baptismal call with each decision we make. God, in his great mercy, has rewritten our human story, giving us a better ending than we had prepared for ourselves, an ending of forgiveness and life instead of sin and death. In his baptism, Jesus laid the foundation for a new dispensation of grace. Now, through the sacrament of baptism, we begin a new life by establishing a union with the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and receiving the gift of faith. So baptism becomes for us a gateway to the life of grace and the door which gives access to the other sacraments. In so doing, it defines the believer's rights and responsibilities as a Christian. Today, the Church invites us all to renew our baptismal promises, so that we can live ever more transparently as a disciple of Jesus, trying our best to do that which is right and true and good and beautiful. We who have received the grace of baptism must endeavor always to live up to our baptismal promises. And what were those baptismal promises? To reject sin, so as to live in the freedom of God's children, and to reject the glamour of evil and refuse to be mastered by sin. You know, the early Christians compared baptism to grafting. They saw farmers graft a twig from one tree to another tree, allowing it to draw life from the new tree. In a similar way, by baptism, we are grafted into Christ's body, the Church, and are now sharing the very life of Christ. What happens to us after baptism is as important as what happens to us during baptism. Because once the twig is grafted into the tree branch, it needs to grow and become one with the tree. If not, it will soon die. And in a similar way, this is true of baptism. Once we have been grafted into Christ's body, the church, we need to grow and become a part of it, or we too will soon die. And so the question for us today, brothers and sisters, is how do we grow and become one with Christ and his church? Well, St. Paul gives us the answer in his letter to the Colossians. He says, since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in him. Keep your roots deep in him. Build your lives in him. Become stronger in your faith as you were taught, and be filled with thanksgiving. In other words, we grow and become one with Christ by imitating him into whose body we have been grafted. As baptized and anointed Christians, we treat others with kindness because that is how Jesus has treated us. We treat others with patience because that is how Jesus treats us. We forgive because he has forgiven us. And above all, we love because Jesus loves us. Amen.